told that I was going to preach this morning about 4 o'clock yesterday, somewhere around there. It's like, okay. Feedback. So, an old pastor once told me a trick. There's some other sermon notes. I better keep them separate from. So, it says, save your sermon notes. Keep them piled up in a book, because when you get that call at 4 o'clock in the morning, you got sermon. So, I went through old. So, we had a birthday party. And then I said, we need to go, because I got a sermon to get done. And I thought, went through old sermons, and God just wouldn't let that go. He'd laid something on my heart, and it had been happening all week. And I didn't really realize it till he said, you're going to preach, you need to preach about this. And I'm like, okay. So I sat down, and Nancy was watching The Mob and Kennedy, I think, on the History Channel, and I wrote out my sermon. So, I'm going to talk to you today about voting. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but we're going to look at what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't really come out and say a lot about voting, but we're going to look at what the Bible says about leaders and how we as Christians should act and behave. And we're gonna go through that with the scripture. I don't tell my wife how to vote. I don't tell my children how to vote. I expect them to prayerfully seek God's face and fast and prayer over it and decide for themselves. Hopefully I've raised my kids with good enough morals and standards that they will do vote the way that they feel that God has led them to vote. But it frustrates me. And I had a lot of conversation this past week with younger people and older people who keep asking me, are you afraid? Are you scared? And I said, no, because God is sovereign. God is in control. All leaders are appointed by God. Whether we're happy with the leader we got at the time or we're unhappy with the leader that we have at the time, God has appointed that leader. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at how we should respond to our government. How we should respond as leaders. Because nothing makes me madder than when I have a politician standing at a pulpit proclaiming to be a born-again Christian or a Catholic. Catholics are Christian. We believe in the same major parts. I know we'll be surprised. Us old Baptists will be shocked when there's Catholics in heavens and Methodists and Lutherans and Church of Godders. But they will. And some things have happened this week. The Pope came out and said, I recognize same-sex unions and relationships. And that stirred up some people. The old Bible thumpers come out of the woodwork going, has he never read Romans? Has he never read 1 Corinthians chapter 6? That's in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. I think there's a problem. Understand, but the problem is that the Pope is as political as he is religious. It is the pressure of the world. The line of the church and the world has bowed inward. The world has influenced the church. That's bad. That's the wrong way. The church should be influencing the world. When our founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they were not all scholars. Most of them, the only book they had read was this one. It's the only one they could afford, the only one they owned. Most of them could quote it chapter and verse, Old and New Testament. They didn't need the book. They could quote it verse for verse. Noah Webster, Webster's Dictionary, he could quote Old and New Testament by verse, by chapter, by number, from memory. Constitution was wrote, the separation of church and state, means the state needs to stay out of the church business, not the church stay out of the state business. Our founding fathers founded this country on the freedom of religion. They did not expect our government to push religion out of the way. Now it's only a political thing. And we're going to talk about that, how we need to look and make our candidates and the people that are governing us and running for office accountable for the words. If you're a Catholic, you should be living that faith. If you watched any of the Senate hearings, you could see certain senators keep bringing that up to the nominee. Well, you're a devout Catholic. And she kept quoting U.S. code. I can't let that influence my decision. Wait a minute. If I am bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, if Jesus lives in me, if I'm dwelled by the Holy Spirit, and I am to mimic Christ, how can I separate that? You can't separate it. Now, you have Arminian and Calvinists, and I'm an old Calvinist, and I believe Jesus said the Father put you in my hand. No one can take you out. There are scholars smarter than me that says you can lose your salvation. And I remember teaching a Sunday school class here, and a lady said, how do you do that? I don't know. And I don't want to know that combination, because I'm a little clumsy, because I'd be the one that do the combination, and then on judgment day I'd be going, boy, you really did it now, Daryl. I don't want to know how I lose my salvation. That should be. If you're worried about it, that's a good thing. You probably haven't done it. If you're not worried about it, there's probably some areas in your life. So the Bible doesn't specifically talk about voting, but I got some verses. I'm going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we're going to go through the Bible because Daryl's up front. It's what happens when you leave an old Baptist in charge. We're going to walk through the scriptures today because I'm not going to tell you anything that can't be backed up by the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13. Choose wise, discerning, and experienced men from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. Now, in Deuteronomy, Moses is going to appoint judges over Israel. Because Moses can't be busy all the time. Moses has a hotline to God. And Moses is the one falling on his face, pleading for Israel, God not to crush him or destroy him. Because Israel at this point is kind of like America. We're chasing other things instead of chasing God. If you turn to me, Romans chapter 13. If you served in the military, a policeman, Romans chapter 13. This is what gives soldiers and policemen and government officials their authority. I have lots of challenge coins that has Romans 13 on it. All the elders of the church carries a challenge coin. Ours have Ephesians chapter 6 on them. But I have several for law enforcement that has Romans chapter 13 on it. We're going to look at this. This talks about government and our responsibilities as Christians to our government. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear or of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all that is due them tax, to whom custom fear, to whom fear honor, to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandments, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law, and this do knowing that the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual proscrimity, sensuality, and not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lust. So it tells us our duties as Christians. The leaders are appointed by God, and we're going to go through some Bible verses in a little bit that goes to that. You know, I'm the old man of the shift. I supervise third shift. And a lot of the talk in the presidential candidates talking about defunding police, and the younger kids are worried and can't not believe that the path our country is going down. And they're like, are you worried? Are you scared? No, I'm not. Because God is sovereign. God is in control. It's already backfiring because chaos is in the street. You can't have life with no rules. It's like being in your own house, being in school. You've got to have rules. To understand today, you got to understand history. And I'm a history nut. I read tons of history books. Nancy will tell you it's history, 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 history. Law enforcement is the front line of democracy. Why? Because we deal with the Constitution every day. If I stop you for speeding or I detain you, I'm working under the Fourth Amendment. And if I violate that, I'm going to be sued for violating your Fourth Amendment right. First Amendment, freedom of speech. The 14th Amendment. We know the Constitution. I'm reading case law all the time, every day, on constitutional law. If you want to get rid of the Constitution and democracy, get rid of the cops. Nancy always goes, put it on Hitler, I'll go to sleep. So if I put the History Channel on and they go back to World War II or Nazi Germany, and all you have to do is look at Germany in the 1930s. The same thing was happening there. Chaos and riots in the street. Disruption. The next process is do away with the cops. What did Germany do? They put the military in charge of the police department. And then what did they do? They rewrote their history. Black history is American history. American history is black history. Morgan Freeman made that statement. I watched an interview. It is our history, whether we like it or not, it's our history. You can't rewrite it. Thousands upon thousands of young men, white and black, died to keep this democracy together in the 1860s. Civil War started over slavery, but it was fought to preserve the Union. It it upsets me when I have candidates that want to throw numbers. They stand up and go, I'm a devout Catholic. Your record don't show that. You're passing legislation that is murdering hundreds of thousands of babies a year in this country. The number one cause of death in the United States is abortion. You won't find it on the CDC because it's not a disease. It's choice. Now it's down. It's below a million. We're about 860,000 babies a year. And we have people who go touting, I'm a devout Catholic. Well, you're not walking the walk. You're talking about it, but your actions speak louder. They throw the number, well, to COVID deaths, 200,000. The CDC is like, no, it's not that much. But yet, you know, we're politicians, so we're going to throw the numbers to make it look worse. 200,000. We're adding over 600,000 babies to that death toll. 241 people a day die from alcohol-related deaths. 241 a day, do the math. I don't see anybody out there going, stop the Budweiser commercials at the football games. We got to walk the walk, and we got to make our leaders walk the walk. It irks me, and I heard it at least three times this week. I don't let my religion get involved in my politics. What? Okay, Jesus, stay home. I'm going to a party now. Okay, Jesus, stay home. I'm going to go vote. That ain't the way it works. Either Jesus is with you all the time or he's not with you. You can't shut him off and on like a light switch. And your conscience should not be allowing you to do that. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So Moses and Noah, what did God use to convict them? Anybody? Their conscience. Which would be replaced with the Holy Spirit. Their conscience. What kind of country have we become? 800,000. 62 babies. Doctors being fired because they won't write COVID-19 on death certificates. It started in New York. Think about it. We shut the country down. Hospitals couldn't do any elective surgery. They couldn't do any tests. What happened to the administrators? The money's gone away. So let's make money. That's what Americans do. We throw money at problems. We'll throw a trillion in there. We'll fix this thing. What? No. That's not going to fix it. But if a hospital admits a patient with COVID-19, they get money from the government. If you're on Medicare, it's $15,000. And if they put you on a ventilator, it's another $35,000. So think about those in the medical field. If my O2's down, why would you put me on a ventilator? It sucks room air. My oxygen is depleted breathing room air. A machine ain't gonna fix that. I need oxygen. First Timothy, second chapter, verse 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that in entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So we should be praying for our leaders daily, praying for our local, state, and federal leaders, praying that God will influence them. We should be influencing them as much as they influence us. And you have to educate yourself. You got to look it up. You can't rely on mainstream media. You know, I have friends that are like, I don't watch that. I just watch Fox. Well, you can't do that. You got to watch Fox. You got to watch CNN. I know it's hard, but you got to watch both. You got to form your opinion. You got to dig for the truth. And there's other sources. Don't take it for granted. Look it up. We're all carrying. This is bigger than my first laptop, bigger than my first desk computer at work. We got it at our fingertips. Walter Cronkite did his interview, and I watched this interview, and I know it's probably 20-some years old, but Walter Cronkite did his last interview. They interviewed him, and at the end of that interview, they asked Walter Cronkite, what do you think of the news today? And he said, what news? I don't care who's marrying who in Hollywood. I don't care who's got drunk and wrecked a car in Hollywood. Since when does actors, some that don't even have a high school education, wants to tell me what's best for me? I don't pay you for advice. You're not my doctor. You're not my lawyer. I pay you to entertain me, to make me laugh. You're paid entertainment. You can't stand there up on a podium and tell me how to live my life, because yours is a wreck. I don't watch any football, basketball, or baseball. It was hard. I don't buy none of their garbage because I'm not supporting them. I pay them to entertain me. I don't want your drug-fueled, horrible lives that you lead trying to influence me how I should live. And you're done. I'm not going to watch them protest the symbol that gives them the right to protest. Not the flag. That was paid for by blood. I'm in charge of the honor guard at the sheriff's office. We just did a funeral, and I was in charge of the flag folding detail. Every fold on that flag represents something. We put that flag to honor our dead, presidents, justice, soldiers who died in combat or served in combat, police officers, firemen killed in the line of duty, EMTs killed in the line of duty. That is the gift that we give as a nation to the mourners of that family, to the widow of that soldier. And we're going to spit on it, stomp on it, we're going to burn it. No. I had a conversation with the sheriff once. I'm like, if they're tearing the flag down, they're burning it, I'm going to get in trouble. You can just give me days off right now. You can protest all you want, but don't protest the symbol that gives you freedom. I remember being at a funeral. They were burying a Marine that fought in the Pacific during World War II. And his nephew was driving a Honda Civic. Then VFW guys stood at the driveway and said, park it on the road. Park it on the road. And he did, and walked. They were not letting a Japanese-made car in that graveyard while they were burying that Marine. When I was growing up, if you stood up, didn't take your hat off, and put your hand over your heart, somebody, some World War II vet would have ripped the hat off your head with half your hair in it. Trust me, if those guys were still young and healthy and around, they'd have go down there and whoop the football team. I guarantee you they would have. But our country is changing. Now we're going to go through some Proverbs that talks about leadership. We're going to go through a few here. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous increases, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. Righteous leaders. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteous exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteous exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but it is every decision is from the Lord. Lot's just another word for voting. The lot is cast into the lap, but it is every decision is from the Lord. In Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like a channel of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. The king's heart is like a channel of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. So God controls the leaders. He can even use bad men to do good things. The Bible's full of that. Now you know me, I'm going to beat a dead horse. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 21. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's the walk, people. That's how we're supposed to live. It's time for us to take Jesus out of the building. It's time for us to take that line and bow it outward. It's time for us to influence our world, not the world influence us. Public and the world and the media should not be shaming us into changing our rules or the way we worship God. This is the law. This is the book the men who wrote the Constitution had to go off. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. This is where they got it. Laws have been around as long as men. Can't have a society with no law and order. There is nothing free. The democracy we lived in was paid for with blood. Nothing's free in this world. I can get up here and promise you everything for free, but it won't be. Somebody's paying for it. With blood or money, somebody's paying for it. But we have allowed the world to influence us enough. It's time for us to walk the walk and make our leaders walk the walk. We're the bosses. I get told that all the time at work. We work for Mercer County, and it's true, we do. Because if you don't like the job we're doing, you're going to elect a different sheriff. And you're fortunate because you have a sheriff that is a born-again Christian. Him and Chief Whale have beat every Tuesday with Randy Christian for a Bible study. The sheriff reads his Bible every day. It sits on his desk. My Bible sits on my desk. Other detectives and deputies, their Bibles are on their desk for the world to see. If we don't hold people accountable, if we don't hold each other accountable, the world should see Jesus through us. And the church should be influencing the world, not the world influencing the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this time that you allowed us to spend in your word. We just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will allow us to take what you have given us today and apply it to our lives and carry it out. Allow us to truly be the light of the world that you called us to be. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.